Let us pray. O God, our Father, we come to you in total humility, knowing that there is nothing in ourselves that allows us to come into your presence. There is nothing, Lord, that we can do. We thank you this morning for your word that has been spoken clearly. We thank you this morning for our brothers and sisters that are here and share with us, whether they be here in the sanctuary or joining us through the wonderful technology that allows us to share when those who aren't able can't come. Father, we also come this morning in humility because of our sin. And this morning in particular, I ask that you would forgive me my sin, for it is great. We have come here to hear from our Lord Jesus and him only. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen. Two things by way of introduction this morning. I would point to you to the Old Testament, which is definitely worthy of preaching on, but I'm not going to. I love the opening. He says, "For ask me of the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created humankind on earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, where such a great thing as this has ever happened or ever heard of." One of the things we talked about during Lent was stopping and thinking contemplatively about the way that God fits in our lives. What a wonderful remembrance that Mike read. Has any God with a little g ever done anything like this? He made us. He loves us. And by the way, I'll hold little Gideon if you'd like all during the service. He is such a beautiful, beautiful baby. And God looks at us that way. Do you know that? Do you know that God looks at you and says, oh, how beautiful you are. How much I genuinely love you. And I want you to contemplate the things that I have done. Has anyone else ever done those things for you? Has any other God out there ever done anything so miraculous? The answer obviously is clearly no. No. And don't mistake the fact that there are many other gods out there. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. They appear on your TV. They appear on the movie screens. They appear on the billboards on the road. They appear every day. We need to be reminded that they are not our God. Our God has done mighty and great things. This morning, I've been led to speak about the New Testament and the Gospel. They fit so beautifully well together, and in a few moments, you're going to see how well they fit. In 1 John, we see that we should not be surprised if the world hates us. We should not be surprised that the world hates us. To some degree, I'm disappointed that it doesn't follow with what we began our service with this morning. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Rejoice! Rejoice! The Lord is King. Your Lord and King adore. Lift up your heart. Lift up your voice. Rejoice again. I say rejoice. You really want the world to like you? Well, let's contemplate that a little bit. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if I drop the microphone scrunchie. I get excited. What can I say? I hear Christians often say, "I don't know why the world doesn't like us. I don't know why the world produces smutty, dirty, occult-filled films and TV shows. I don't know why the world won't listen." Really? You don't? I also hear Christians saying we should demand that there are more Christian value-driven media. We should have the right to expect them to get rid of the nasty stuff that fills the world in books, pornography, language, treatment of others. Actually, in the words of that great philosopher, Rodney King, why can't we all just get along? Do you remember that? I hope so. Because it was a very interesting thing. A lot of people, including Christians, thought, "Oh, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Can't we just all get along? Let's build a campfire in the middle of the sanctuary here and join together in singing Kumbaya." The world doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't at all. In fact, if we look then at the gospel, and I'm going to take you back and forth if you want to watch, if you want to look at your Bibles, you might want to put a finger or your bulletin in the gospel, which is John 14, 15 through 21, and then another something in 1 John 3, 11, 24. You see, in John 14, 17b, it gives us the answer to that question. It's straightforward. There's nothing secret about it. It says the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Even if they attempted to change, they wouldn't get it right. There'd be a twist on it. There already is. There are those who attempt, and what they end up doing is seeing if they can make money off of it. Oh, by the way, there's a lot of money to be made off of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord be praised. And pass the collection plate. We don't do that. You give what God has asked you to give if you are able to give. look further. John 15, oh, I know it's not quite the same gospel, but it's just a page over. John 15, 18 through 21. John tells us this, coming from the mouth of Jesus. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. How could the world hate Jesus? He's a nice man, a good man, a good teacher. How could they hate him? If you belong to the world, it would love you as your own. Think about that. If you belong to the world, it would love you as your own. As it is, you do not belong to the world because I have chosen you out of the world. I've said more than once, and I will probably say it again, and I certainly think it an awful lot. Lord, by the way, he didn't ask me for this advice. Lord, you know what would really be nice? Is if when we accept Jesus, you just translated us right then and there up into heaven. Just bring us there. I mean, we're ready. We are so excited. Do you remember when you accepted Christ? I hope so. Sometimes it's easy to forget that. And you were so excited. Maybe it was at your first communion. Maybe it was when you were confirmed. Maybe it was later as an adult when you were baptized by believers baptism. I don't know, but it was exciting. And boy, it felt great. And it's like, oh, Jesus, take me now. Take me now. Unfortunately, he said, no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. But let me tell you something there, Steve. The world hates you because you have chosen to follow me. I don't like that. I don't like that you don't like everything else. They don't like it that you're focused on me because I chose you. This is not a sermon on election. Because in fact, what the world doesn't see is he chose them all. It's those who accepted that choice. Those who said, wow, you love me that much? We'll come back to that. He says also to remember, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. Most of this world doesn't know God. Most of this world doesn't even accept that there is a God. They're stuck in themselves. They're stuck in themselves. And oh, by the way, that was the first sin. It wasn't disobedience. That was kind of the second sin. It was a follow-up. It's like you get follow-up questions. The first sin was when Satan looked at Adam and Eve and he said the reason God told you not to eat that fruit was he knew that you would become like God. Adam and Eve said, we're all in. Boy, I want to become like God. They saw him walking in the garden. They saw everything that he had made. I don't know, maybe they thought they could improve on what he had made. You've heard the story that God looked and he made man, and he looked again and said, I can do better, and he made woman.
Amen.
There's always this thought that we can do better. We can do better. Lord, you know, we don't need those dirt paths that have beautiful and luscious beauty of the things that you have grown for us all around. We'll build roads of asphalt, much more attractive. Oh, and by the way, when it gets too busy, we'll add to them. Two lanes first, then three lanes later. And then we'll create things like Malfunction Junction. You ever been to Malfunction Junction? There actually is one. It's in Knoxville. There's another one in Kansas City, but I like the one in Knoxville best. There are two interstates that come together, each with eight lanes. Right, four lanes for each. They come together into two lanes. We can do better. We think we can. We think we can. Story, one of the angels had come down to heaven to work, do some work, and comes back and says to God, and he looks at him and he says, what did you think about my beautiful creation? It's okay. Do what? He says, look at the beauty that I created for you. The clover, the daffodils, the daisies. They said, yeah, but they mow it. He says, well, but look at all the trees, the way they bloom, and they just grow every which way. Well, there's these people down there called landscape people, and they take the things that you set to grow every which way, and they make them into little balls and different shapes. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, but what did you think about humankind? Wasn't that a great idea? Well, Lord, I'll get back to you on that one. Why do we think that the world should love us? Why do we want the world to love us? Frankly, there's times I want to go home, lock all the doors, close all the windows, and never come out again. Because the world will never, I want you to understand this, the world will never love you. Never love you. It is not going to happen. I'm sorry. If that's a disappointment, I don't know what to say. We can't convince them as Christians. Remember that. So why do we try? Why do we try? Because to get them just to like us or tolerate us, much less love us, requires compromise on our part. Not theirs. Not theirs. It's we who have to compromise. When the crowd goes out for a drink after work, or whatever it may be, maybe the bridge club decides that, you know, they bring out the cocktails after you play 4 hours of bridge and your mind is numb. And you think, well, they can't change my values, so it's not a big deal. And, you know, maybe they'll notice that Christians are real people and they'll start to change. For your parting gift. No, it doesn't work that way. If you put a good apple in a barrel of bad, rotting apples, does the good apple change the rotting ones? That's a trick question, by the way. Don't think about it too long. Or is it the other way around? And then don't tell me, well, I can do it. I do it so that I can lead them to Jesus. You know, Paul said to be all things to all people. I don't think Paul was thinking that you ought to go out and get fallen town blind drunk to bring somebody to Jesus. I don't think that was on his mind. That happened to a legitimate, really good preacher. He was called the preacher of Bourbon Street in a little town called New Orleans. And he thought that by living there, by walking up and down the street, he could bring them to Jesus. Now, the problem is, if you're ever on Bourbon Street, if you've ever been to Bourbon Street, I will tell you that the first rule is never look to the right or the left, because it will burn your eyes out. I will tell you, don't get thirsty along the way, because they don't serve water unless it's mixed with something. You cannot change and compromise in order to lead somebody to Jesus. And let me tell you something. Most significant, I did some research on this, folks. This isn't just off the top of my head. I'm not that smart. Most significant lasting conversions happen not because we are like them, but because we are not like them. And they realize they don't like being them. Let me say that again. Most conversions, most significant, lasting conversions happen not because we are like them, but because we are not like them. And they realize they don't even like being them. Sometimes, as the women said on Thursday as they were studying the Sermon on the Mount, sometimes you just need to walk away and shake the sand off your sandals. And by the way, it really is kind of summertime, so we're all wearing sandals again. So it's easy to do that. Shake the sand off, walk away. Because I want you to know something. I have been there. I have tried that. Oh, come on, Steve. You don't even have to drink. You can just order a ginger ale and nurse it all night. Oh, come on, Steve. It's a group of us. It's only a movie. Oh, come on, Steve. It won't hurt if we say little white lies to our clients. After all, we like their money. I have to tell you, been there, tried that, and discovered it made me miserable. And that the gold ring that you grasp is not gold. Tested my faith and caused me to compromise far too often. It made me realize I don't like me that way. And neither did God. It's not worth it. The compromise? The saying that, that's okay, candidates aren't perfect. Well, that's duh. They're human, so nobody's perfect. Yeah. But sometimes we're not asking for perfect, we're just asking for truthful. Sometimes we're asking that people who aren't perfect, that we enjoy spending time with, we're not asking them to be perfect. We're just asking them to let us live the way we live. They don't want to accept where we are. They want us to compromise, but they don't want to compromise. Second, not only should we not be surprised if the world hates us, we know what love is. The world is so often after the meaning of love. Have you ever noticed how much is written on love? Have you ever noticed how many movies are about love? Well, there's a love story embedded in between being stuck on an alien planet and having to fight these ugly things that are after to eat you. It's in there somewhere, I love the one. I walked into, I won't say where, into a bookstore. And I noticed before I could get down to the Christian resource books, there was this huge area that had romance novels on them. I felt like when I went past the aisle, it should have said, oh. I didn't know that men ever looked that way. With six packs and ripped shirts. And holding a woman in their arms who's down. I mean, that's got to be hard. I've never done that, honey. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to. No, my back won't do it. And her hair is flowing perfectly with this look on her face. Really? It's just a romance novel, Steve. Get over it. The world is always after the meaning of love. Young people always seem to ask, maybe they ask their parents, more often than not they don't, they ask somebody else, how do I know if it's love? Well, I will tell you this, the answer is not found on Hallmark. It's found in the scripture. Look at 1 John again. Turn back to 1 John. No, I hadn't left that. Going to continue. 1 John 3:16. It says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That's love. By the way, he didn't just lay down his life out of passion. He laid out his life out of love and concern that we might spend eternity without God. And I don't care what your definition of hell might be, that's one of them, is spending eternity without God. I found it interesting, by the way, this was just a side thing as I was going along on my sermon and everything, and all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, 1 John 3:16. John 3:16. They sound awfully familiar. In fact, they sound almost alike. They confirm for us that Jesus laid down his life that we might have eternal life. I wonder if John thought about that when he did that, or wonder if the Holy Spirit just kind of slipped that in. I'll ask when I get there. But there are those in the world who would abuse the name of Christ through compromise, ignoring sin, not holding to his commandments, and telling you that love is a physical, visceral, nasty thing. Let's make this clear. We are not here to change the world. Can I say that again? Because sometimes, I don't know about you, I forget. I do. I'm not being funny. I forget that I'm not here to change the world. You know, I'm not here to fix the guy who just went around me at 70 miles an hour on Highway 70 between the two traffic lights. Not my problem. God says, just don't hit him. He doesn't have insurance. I'm not here to change the world. God never told me to change the world. You see, that was Jesus's job. And folks, I'm not Jesus. I'm not even close. We are not here to change the world. We are here to show the love of Christ to others through words and, most importantly, through our actions. You've heard the old saying, preach the gospel and sometimes use words. Third, not only should we not be surprised if the world hates us, and not only do we know what real love is, we know what we will do because of real love. Notice I did not say what we are required to do. Jesus never requires us to do anything. He has no requirements. He has expectations. He says, I expect that you will love me because I love you. In John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is that a requirement? No, it's a conditional. Do you know what the difference between a requirement and a conditional is? Well, I'll tell you, since I've asked. A conditional says, if you do this, you prove it by doing this. If you want this, then you do this. He didn't say, by the way, if you love me, go out and convert a whole bunch of people. Do you realize that only one person converts? Only one person converts, and it's not us. We are seed droppers. I just came up with that term out of the top of my head. We're seed droppers. We go around and we drop seeds wherever we may go. Sometimes, by the way, we drop seeds on the pavement in a parking lot when we're talking to somebody. What a waste of seed. Sometimes we drop seeds in this beautiful grass area. It's full of weeds. Gee, there's a parable about that, I think. You see, we need to be discerning about where we drop the seeds because we're seed droppers. Now, let me offer you some Paul logic, which I may not be all that good at, but I did take logic in my undergraduate work. And it says this. If we keep his commandments, that's what it said in verse 15, I just read it to you, then, an if-then clause, that's logic. Verse 16 and 17, he, Jesus, will ask the Father, and he, the Father, will give us another advocate, the Spirit of Truth. Boy, that's a good deal. All I have to do is keep his commandments. Oh, well, wait a minute, isn't that tough? No. What commandments are we talking about? The two we talk about every Sunday. I know you're getting tired of me referring to them. I hope not. I hope not. I hope they bury deep in your heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's all he's asking. That's all he's asking. So Jesus will ask the Father, and he will give us another advocate. That advocate, by the way, and the word in the Greek is parakleton, is the one who appears on another's behalf, a mediator, an intercessor, a helper. Wouldn't you like to have that? I mean, if you had somebody come who rang your doorbell and says, I tell you what, this is what I do for a living. I'll mediate everything for you. I'll appear on your behalf in any conflicts, any difficulties in your life. By the way, I'll intercede when things become difficult and you need help. And by the way, I can help you. I'll clean the house, I'll vacuum, I'll do the dishes, I'll run the dishwasher for you. Your place will be immaculate. Only the place that God's talking about when he gives the Holy Spirit is this place, this body of ours. God is there in the form of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, by definition, he's also called the Paraclete. Have you heard that one before? That's Greek. He's the Paraclete. And that is that he is a helper, an intercessor, a mediator. He appears on our behalf. He appears for us in heaven on our behalf. He loves us so much, Jesus does, that he died for our sins so that he could send us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit serves as an advisor, warns us of sin, helps us in discerning that which is of God and that which is not. Have you used that little radar recently? Because that radar is not illegal in the state of North Carolina. The radar you put on your dash is, but the Holy Spirit's radar that tells you, beep, 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 don't get too close to this person. Beep, 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 beep. They'll take you down the wrong path. Beep, 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 beep. They don't believe in things that you believe in. Have you listened to that? Or do you go around like some who are Christians, every time the Holy Spirit has something to say, they go, la, 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 la. I'm not listening. I don't want to listen. You take all the fun out of life. Boom. That's not what we're there for. The Holy Spirit, the coming of which we will celebrate in a few weeks, is there for us. You see, we're not going to change the world. You can go out and demonstrate all you want. Child of the 60s, here's folks. I was in college during that time, and we had all sorts of wonderful demonstrations. I won't go into them, but anyway. And then in John 14, 19, 21, he says, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. How do we see him? Through his word and his Holy Spirit. Back to the verses. Because I live, you also will live. That'd make a great song. Oh, it is. That's right. And then it says this, and I don't know how I missed this. It says, on that day, if you have your Bibles with you and you are looking at John 14, 19 through 21, and you see, on that day, underline it, highlight it, memorize it, remember. Why? He says, on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Another logic thing. That we are part of him. What is that day? It's the day of which Jesus is speaking. Is the day we arrive in heaven. It's all gonna be okay, folks. Now, I don't like people who say that to other people. You know what? But when Tom and I were sitting, and I knew he heard, but he couldn't say anything. He didn't recognize anything. But I did venture out to say, Tom, in just a short while, it's all going to be okay. It's that day when it becomes okay. It's that day when the results of our unwillingness to compromise come out. It's that day when the seeds that we've dropped, those which came to fruition, we'll find out about. John closes with verse 21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. That's how he defines love. Which commands? The two we've talked about. Steve, you're a broken record. Those are the ones, those commands. Those are the ones that Jesus talked about. He told us about them. He said, figure them out, get them. That's why we say them over and over and over again. And trust me, folks, at some point, even I will figure it out. You pray about that. Amen.